Well, I've got a joke for you. It's a bad joke. The youth know that I'm notorious for my bad jokes. Maybe it's because I'm a dad and it just, you know, it happens. But where did the egg go on vacation? New York. Hey, I told you, it's a bad joke, right? But I just got back from vacation myself. It was great. I was on the island camping for 2 weeks. Some of you might be like, camping for 2 weeks, that's not a vacation, right? But I love camping. My family loves camping. My youngest son, it's like as soon as we were back, his first question after being home for 10 minutes, can I go outside again, right? Just loves being outdoors. And maybe some of you have had your holiday. You went out, had vacation. You got away from it all. You know, you stopped your regular work. And maybe if you were fortunate enough to actually get away from home, not just one of those staycations, but get away, you actually could put down some of the projects, some of the things that you know were on your to-do list at work, and you could really get away from it all. And now you're back. You know, you've had your little rest. You're full of energy. You're ready to face life and whatever it throws at you, right? No. That's the answer for most of us. No, in fact, usually we go on vacation and we come back and we're more tired than before we left. And the thing is, this tends to be the way it is for most of us, our regular routine in life. We are just dragging ourselves around from one thing to the next. We are exhausted. We are constantly tired. We feel overcommitted, overworked, overinvolved, and we are just overwhelmed. Some of you might be saying, Dave, that's because you're getting old. I turned 40 a couple weeks back, and maybe that's it. Yeah, it's like an accomplishment. You made it! Or maybe it's like, welcome to the club, right? But I don't think it's because of age. You see, I work with students, and they're all the way from middle school to high school, and all my volunteers, well, most of them, are college-age students. And when they come into the youth room on Wednesday nights, I say, hey, welcome here. How's it going? And one of the number one answers I get is, I'm so tired. Fump. And they flop themselves down on the couches in the youth room. And we heard last week from our guest speaker, Jan Hart. She was talking about anxiety. And she said, today's young people, they are just so overburdened. They're exhausted and they're worn out. And so I don't think it's age. So if it's not age, and if it's not a lack of vacation time, then what is it that's exhausting us? And more importantly than that, how do we get out of this cycle of being weary and overwhelmed? How can we truly rest? I think this morning's passage will give us the answer to that. So I want to encourage you, if you have your Bibles, crack them open to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 25 to 30 this morning. Matthew chapter 11. If you didn't bring your Bible, then you can like snuggle up close to somebody else who has theirs, or I have provided it for you on the screen as well. And Reinhardt's got some Bibles in the back there if you'd like those. So Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 25. I'm going to ask that you would stand with me as we read God's word this morning, if you're able to. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Yeah, you can sit down now. Thank you. Well, the last part of this morning's passage that I just read to you is probably one that most of you are well familiar with. Maybe you've seen it on a Christian poster in a bookstore somewhere, or maybe you got a greeting card that had these verses, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest, right? It's one of those verses that many of us memorized when we were young, and so we can pull it out at random times when we know people who need this kind of encouragement. And yet, maybe you're here this morning, and we read this verse, and you're skeptical. You know, I wouldn't blame you one bit if you were a little skeptical. It often seems that when you become a Christ follower, that rather than less burdens, all of a sudden we have more. Like, you know, you get the responsibility now that you're following Christ to begin serving in the church. Did you know that that's one of your responsibilities? Or you come to faith and you get this great news. Christ has come to you. He's changed your life. And now you're expected to go out and share this great gift with other people. We have that responsibility too. You just can't take it easy when you become a Christ follower. And isn't it Jesus who said, he said, that I haven't come to abolish the law and the prophets. In fact, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So it seems that Christianity then is about do, right? Blessed are the doers, but God help me because I can't keep up with some of you, right? And Jesus' invitation here to rest this morning, well, it seems like he's got a little trick up his sleeve, doesn't he? Like, it seems a little contradictory. Come to me, all you who are weary, and take my yoke upon you. Like, really? Like, here's some rest, take this yoke. Now, back in the day when they did a lot of farming with animals, a yoke was a wooden frame that would hold together a couple of animals, there you go on there, and they would pull together on this wooden frame, enabled to pull a cart that was laden with a really heavy load, so heavy that one animal couldn't do it alone. There's a picture of a couple animals that are pulling a load together. Usually they were oxen, so big animals, right? Now, can you imagine, you know, come and take this yoke. So let's strap it on together and let's pull this heavy load together. It sounds really restful, right? Now, a yoke was also a metaphor in Scripture for hard work. In 1 Kings 12:3, it says that the whole assembly of Israel, they went to King Rehoboam, who just became king, and they said to him, listen, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke that he put on us, and we will serve you. So it was a metaphor for hard work. This isn't looking good for us, is it? Second of all, it was a metaphor for slavery. In Exodus 6:6, the Lord says to Moses, he says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being their slaves. Certainly, Jesus cannot be promising us rest in exchange for hard work and enslavement, can he? I don't think so. Now, the third way that yoke is used as a metaphor back in the days when Jesus was walking around preaching is that a yoke was a common metaphor used in Judaism to refer to teaching, that people would sit under. So when you followed a certain teacher, and they called him a rabbi back then, and you observed their teaching, particularly their interpretation of God's word, which they called the Torah, which was God's law, then you were said to be under that teaching. You were said to be sitting under that rabbi's yoke. And so it was his set of rules and his lists of how to live out the scriptures. Now, maybe you were here with us when we did our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we talked about the scribal law that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had put together. It was this massive list of rules and obligations that a good Jew would do in order to keep God's word, so that you wouldn't break any of the commands, so that you wouldn't break the Sabbath and things like that. But it went far beyond the requirements of God's word, far beyond the expectations that God had put on people. And this was considered their teaching, their yoke. And it was a yoke that they suggested that if anybody wanted to follow God, if anybody wanted to be in a right relationship with God, you had to carry this. You had to live out this scribal law. And so the people of Jesus' day, they were being crushed under the weight of this teaching, under the weight of this yoke. But can you blame them? They felt like they had to do it because this is what their teachers, you know, the educated people, the pastors, the priests, this is what they were telling them. This is how you have to live. And so they so desperately wanted to be in a right relationship with God that they felt like this is what we have to do, but it was killing them. And this is why Jesus, he gets so angry throughout his gospels with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He says to the people in Matthew 23, he says, referring to the Pharisees, he says, "Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." So when Jesus, he invites us to come to him for rest by taking on his yoke, he is inviting you and I not just to come to him and to put on another yoke, another brand of teaching, but he's inviting you and I to come to him and to exchange the yoke that we are wearing with his. He's inviting you and I to exchange the false things, the false teachings that we are believing about God, the false things we believe about ourselves, with the truth of his word. When Jesus invites you and I to come to him, to take on his yoke, he is inviting you and I to learn from him how to listen to his spirit, the voice of his spirit, rather than listening to all the other voices around us, all the other expectations that others put on us, or maybe even the voices in ourselves that put on expectations about what it might mean to be a good Christian or a good child or a good mother or father or whatever it is. Jesus says to us, if you want to come to me for rest, then let's exchange yokes. Give me yours and take mine upon me, upon you. And Jesus, he offers us real rest. If we exchange our yokes with him, if we trade in our false beliefs about how to get good with God for faith and trust in him. And the thing about Jesus' yoke that he says is that it's easy and that the burden is light. And you might be thinking to yourself, easy? Following Jesus? Easy? I don't buy it. Isn't it Jesus who says in Matthew 16 that whoever wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me? Taking up a cross, that doesn't sound easy, does it? Doesn't sound like a light burden. But here's the thing. The word that we have translated in most of our Bibles this morning that says easy is the Greek word krestos. And I don't think that the translation easy is the best one that we have here. Now, this word, when it was used for people, towards people, it was the word kind. So some of you might have older translations of this passage, and it says, my yoke is kind, my burden is light. But this word krestos, whenever it was used towards objects or things, it meant well-fitting. So my yoke is well-fitting. And I think that this is the best translation for this word, that Jesus says, come to me, for my yoke is well-fitting. And the burden is light. Jesus isn't saying that being his disciple is easy, like it's no problem, like it isn't going to demand some sacrifice or some difficult times and experiences. But he says it fits us well. So many of you know my wife is very artsy and craftsy, and she likes to do those kind of things, and she's very good at it. And she'll sit down at the table for hours, and she'll draw really intricate, minute things and then paint them and stuff like that. And it's not physically demanding, but it's definitely not easy. It fits her well. But if she were to invite me to come down and sit beside her and to sit still and sit there for a couple hours, oh my goodness, that would be difficult and burdensome for me. I can't do that kind of thing. It's not a good fit. And here I am this morning, I'm on stage in front of some people, I'm public speaking, I'm preaching, and for many of you, this is not a good fit for you. It's not physically demanding what I'm doing right now, but it's not easy. I put a lot of hard work and time and energy into this, and for me, it feels like a fit. And so this is what Jesus tells us about his yoke, his teaching. He says that it fits us well, that the burden is light, not because it's simple, that it doesn't demand sacrifice, but because his yoke, get this, is what you and I were created for. His yoke, it's not made to fit us. We were designed to fit his yoke. And it's what we are being redeemed for, renewed for, transformed, so we would fit better and better into that yoke. You might be saying, but what is the yoke that Jesus offers us? It's his relationship with his Father. Jesus' yoke that he offers us to take on is his relationship with his Father. Verse 25, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is talking to God. And then in the middle of this conversation, without stopping, Jesus turns to his followers and says, hey, come to me. Come on in here. Come into this relationship with my Father. Author Daryl Johnson, he says that the context for this passage is that Jesus is praying and worshiping in conversation with the one that he calls Father. He then turns to his disciples from within this conversation and beckons his disciples to come to him and join him in the praising, in the delighting, and in the trusting of his Father's. All I can say is when I read that, I was like, wow, that is incredible. Do you get that? That Jesus is like right in the middle of this relationship, says he's not like turning his back and edging us out. He's opening up and saying, get in here. Be part of this. Come to me. So do you see why Jesus' yoke fits him so well? He loves the Father, and the Father loves him. Do you see why the burden then for Jesus, he can say that it's light? Because Jesus' burden is pleasing his Father, something he already wants to do. And the Father, he's already well pleased with Jesus because Jesus is his son. We see it throughout scripture. Jesus, he goes, he gets baptized, he comes out of the Jordan, and a voice from heaven says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He climbs up the mountain of transfiguration with his disciples, and Moses and Elijah appear, and there's all this clouds going on. But the voice from heaven calls out and says, listen to what he says. He's my son in whom I'm well pleased. And so this is why Jesus can say that his yoke is also well-fitting and light for us if we accept it. It's what we were designed for. You see, you and I were created to be in this relationship with God, in relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that's why I said that Christ's yoke wasn't designed to fit us, but that we were designed to fit it. Because before all of history, before the entire world was made, before any human roamed the earth, God existed in relationship. And out of this love that overflowed from the Trinity, this was made. And human beings were created to be in this loving relationship with him. Before we ever loved God, God loved us. But there's a problem. And it's the same old problem that continues today that happened from the beginning of the first created people, is that we are rebellious. We want to go our own way. God says, here's my yoke, here's my teaching, live under this. But we tend to say, nah, I think I know better myself. I think I'll go out on my own. Or some other teaching, it just seems more palatable to us, right? And so we go and we take that on. Or maybe we even have other yokes, other teachings hoisted upon us. And we feel like we can't get out from underneath these things. See, the problem is that you and I, we take on other yokes, or we have them placed on us by others. And there's this picture I found online. It's this woman carrying this box. There it is. I think many of us feel like this woman. We're being crushed and weighed down and overburdened by other teachings, by different expectations and things like that. For the Jewish people of Jesus' day, it was the scribal law. It was the one that told them, you have countless things that you've got to do if you want to be in a right relationship with God. And many of us may be living under that same sort of expectation, like, I need to do these things in order to please God. Or maybe we're being crushed by guilt. Or maybe it's financial expectations. Or the need to excel at our workplace or in academics. Maybe we're weighed down by the unsettling politics that are going on around us or global events that are happening. Or how about the pressure from the teachings of the world around us? Like the individualism and the world's teaching on tolerance, its version of tolerance. I tell you, that's a yoke if I ever saw one. And I confess to you that I too struggle under the weight of yokes that aren't the one that Jesus wants me to wear. You see, I struggle under the weight of other people's expectations. See, I want people to really like me. I want to serve people and I want to do a good job. And yet, like this week, I found out that I didn't meet someone's expectations. And even though those expectations weren't necessarily, you know, proper expectations to have, and I disappointed them again. And trust me, I'm going to disappoint again and again. But it's a weight that I feel crushed under. It's a burden that I can't bear. And yet, when I feel that I'm wearing these things, I also don't react properly when these things happen. So maybe I need to apologize to my family and the church staff for my behavior this week. But I tell you, we wear yokes, expectations, burdens that we were never designed to wear. And this is where we need to clearly hear Jesus' invitation to come to him. To come to him and exchange that yoke for his in order to receive rest. Because the only way that we're going to receive real rest is if we come to Jesus. That's how we get real rest. By coming to him. We do not find time to rest. We do not make rest. We can't buy it. Trust me, you can see those people who even get 8 hours of sleep a night or have time and money to go on extended vacations. They can be just as weary and burdened as well. You see, real, satisfying rest from the things that drag us down and wear us out can only be had by coming to Christ and trading our yokes for his. The question for us then is, are you willing to come to Jesus and exchange yokes? Are you willing to give up yours and take on his? You see, some of us, though we're being weighed down by our yokes, we have a hard time giving them up because they're associated with good things, right? Some of us are being crushed by the expectations of our jobs, and yet our title and our position, we feel like it defines who we are. And so give that up, give it over to Jesus. He might ask me to give it up completely. I'm not sure I can do that. Or what about the expectations sometimes parents feel, right? They see what other families are doing, think we got to live up to that, and they're being crushed by these expectations. Well, what happens if I bring that yoke to Jesus? What's he going to do with it? But he is trustworthy. And he calls us to come to him, living in relationship with him and in the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. If you want real rest, if you want satisfying rest, you've got to come to Jesus. Maybe you don't know what that looks like. So I want to give you a picture of what exchanging your yoke looks like. In fact, Jesus gives it to us in this passage. He says in verse 25, Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. So it's not that Jesus is against wisdom and learning. So if you have a PhD sitting here this morning, Jesus isn't against you or anything like that. What Jesus is doing in this passage here is he's contrasting the learned, so those people like the scribes and the Pharisees, whose pride, and get this, self-sufficiency, cause them to reject his message. He's contrasting those learned with the sinners, the people like the prostitutes and tax collectors, whose humility and desperation was the thing that actually allowed them to receive Christ and his message and enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say that again. It was the people who knew they needed God and were willing to live in total dependence on him who were the ones who were able to exchange yokes and receive real rest. And so in order for any of us to truly come to Jesus, we also need to understand how insufficient we really are, that we cannot do it on our own, and that we must totally rely on and depend and trust in him. I also think that Jesus then uses this metaphor of little children because, like I said, his yoke is all about relationships, like the relationship between a father and a daughter or a mother and her son. And the primary way that relationships are built is by doing life together. We primarily build our relationships by doing life together, by including one another in each other's lives. And this is how we come to Christ. We live with him. More precisely, he lives in us and is involved in every single area of our lives. Romans 8, 10 to 11 puts it this way. It says, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subjected to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit who lives in you. Oh my goodness, that is the rest that I want, isn't it? The rest that actually gives me life, that revives me. And we're not talking just eternal life here. Paul says in here, he says, it's the Spirit that gives life to your mortal bodies. That's the life I want. That's the rest I want, the one that revives me and refreshes me and gives me life. Don't you want that rest? Then come to Jesus. And friends, you see, coming to Jesus, it's not something that we just do once a day. We got to do this several times a day, in fact. And you know, if you've been in church for a long time, if you've been following him for a long time, there's no secret for how we come to Jesus. It's through reading his word. It's through spending time in prayer. These are things that Christ himself modeled to us. Read the Gospels. So many times it said Jesus went away to be on his own, to pray with his heavenly Father. Or the disciples went and found him and he was praying to his heavenly Father. This is how we come to Jesus. This is how we begin to exchange yokes with him. You know, it's through reading the word, it's through prayer, and it's through spending time with other believers as well. Because we need other people. We need other people to help us lift those yokes off of our shoulders that we are not strong enough to take off ourselves. We need other people to help us come to Jesus, to exchange the burdens that we are bearing, and to be able to receive encouragement and to take upon ourselves the yoke that he offers us. And this isn't some sort of one and done kind of thing. It's not like you come to Jesus one time only, you receive his rest, you exchange yokes, and there it is, it's done. In fact, some of the most burdened people I know are Christians, and they're so busy doing church work, and not necessarily the work of the church. Don't get me started on the difference between those two things. And they're so busy putting their expectations on themselves and other people, they just don't have time to come to Jesus. I remember being in a Bible study, and they were with a group of people, and most of them were new believers, but this one other couple who were getting ready to go into ministry, every time we met together, the wife would say, I don't have time to read the scripture before I come or to pray. And so at the end of the night during our prayer time, she would always say, could you pray to the Lord that I would have the time to do this? She was busy. She had little children to look after and stuff. But then she would also say, we need to speed things along so that she could catch the latest episode of Gilmore Girls. Now, I'm not criticizing watching TV or your choice of programs, however, but I'm saying that we do not have time. We don't have the time not to come to Jesus. The truth is, we don't have time not to come to him because these other yokes that we are wearing are crushing us. And the question isn't whether or not you will wear a yoke. The question is, whose yoke are you going to wear? And Jesus says to me, and he says to you this morning, are you weary? Are you tired? Are you feeling there's too much on you, that you're overburdened? Come to me. I will give you rest, real rest, satisfying rest. We can only get it by coming to Jesus. Let's pray. And as I pray, I invite the worship team to come on up. Oh, Jesus, what a great